one thing you said earlier when you were talking about the mRNA, and this is a, most people seem to think that it means messenger RNA, and that's what that used to mean in the past. But if you look at the package inserts and you see where it says mRNA, and there's a little asterisk, and you look down at the bottom and it says modified ribonucleic acid. And Dr. Malone's mentioned this a few times. And what that means is they used a different nucleic acid than what is found in nature. Okay, well, what's the problem with that, Segalov? Well, that means your body can't break it down. We lack the enzymes to break it down. We don't know how long it stays in your body.
All right, welcome to this interview. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, joining you on video today because we got a video guest who's going to be really fantastic, but also raising a lot of issues that are very worrisome for the future of our country and also our military. His name is Dr. Sam Segalov. He's a U.S. Army major, a physician, family physician in the Army. He's joining us today outside of uniform, off the clock of the Army as a private citizen today to talk about what is happening to him as he has worked on granting exemptions to soldiers and is questioning the safety of some of the ingredients in these vaccines that are being pushed aggressively on the military. Dr. Sam Segalov, welcome, and thank you for your service, sir. Thank you for all that you're doing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. And I first want to start off by saying that any view that I express is solely my own, not that of the Department of the Army, not the DOD, nor the U.S. government. I am currently off duty, not in uniform, and my public affairs officer is aware of this interview.
Okay, that's great to hear. And I guarantee you that my views are also not endorsed by the Department of Defense, since I talk to whistleblowers and Attorney Thomas Renz and so on and so forth. But thank you for stating that for clarity, just so there's no confusion whatsoever. Now, since this is the first time we've ever spoken, I mean, we've texted to arrange this interview, but we've never spoken before. So first of all, it's great to meet you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Can you walk our audience through the situation that you find yourself in, being a compassionate physician, trying to improve and protect and save the lives of your fellow men and women in uniform, and what you have run into in attempting to achieve that?
Yes, sir. So I recently, you know, this past summer, I interviewed to become, you know, amongst my peers, I interviewed to be the medical director at Fort Huachuca. So I did a permanent change of station from Alaska, and then a move to Fort Huachuca to be the medical director. And it was to work under a man that I worked for before. He was a great boss before. And so I came to Fort Huachuca. And then shortly, you know, short time later is when the Secretary of Defense put out his quote mandate that if you look at the what he actually wrote, it's legal. The way it's applied is illegal. And I had many soldiers coming to me and service members coming to me saying, well, I don't want to get this. What? How can I avoid getting this? Because I don't think it's right for my body. I think it's dangerous. And I already done quite a bit of research into Pfizer and Moderna and all these different ones. And I was convinced that it's quite dangerous as well, because especially the only one they could mandate is one that's never been produced. I want to make that very clear that Comirnaty has never been produced. And there's many reasons for that. I've got a podcast where I talk about how the representative from Pfizer says that it was made in France, which is not an FDA location. That's kind of getting the weeds, but it's never been produced. So if you're been told that you took Comirnaty, they lied to you. And the first three, like the lipid nanoparticles that are in there, those ingredients, they're not validated for human use, nor veterinary use. And so in my opinion, when I discussed this with patients, they didn't want to get it, and because they thought it was dangerous. And at the very best, we don't know what's going to happen in the future if a patient takes this. We don't know what long-term ramifications are. And I think it could be dangerous as well, since the material safety data sheet says that it's not validated for human use. It says that many of the toxicology reports are classified. Now, who can classify these things?
Yeah, it's classified. You're not allowed to know what's in it, but you have to take it. That's the message from the DOD. But let me ask you, Dr. Segalov, or may I just call
just
you Sam?
Sam, please.
Okay. All right. Great. Sam, thank you for that. Surely you must have, I'm just guessing, but you tell me, have soldiers come to you after having taken the vaccine, expressing concern or regret or talking about symptoms that they may have experienced following that injection?
So in the different positions that I've been in, when I was in Alaska and when I was at Fort Huachuca, the majority of patients that I saw were what we call beneficiaries. So that's spouses, children, you know, retirees and their spouses. And yes, I've seen some horrible things with them. Like one breastfed child had fever every day for 10 months when I saw him. And we sent that patient to the cardiology. It was not Kawasaki's disease. You know, I mean, the only thing is it started like a month after this injection with these, what I think are bioweapons. China developed bioweapons. And that sounds insane. I understand that. But look at my episode number 33, part one of the bioweapon series that I have on my podcast. And I walk you through the documents, all the public source documents, and show you how it was developed in China.
Well, for our audience, that doesn't sound insane at all. I mean, look, I've interviewed 200 people in the last year, many experts on this, and we have established beyond any doubt whatsoever. The evidence is clear. These are biological weapons, and the gain of function additions were achieved in Wuhan, and it was partly funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars through Fauci and the NIAID and so on, EcoHealth Alliance, with government grant money and so on. But the disturbing thing in this is not just that it's bioweapons, it's that I would say from the public's point of view, it's as if the Pentagon leadership is trying to mass murder American soldiers. That's what it looks like to me and to most Americans who are aware of this information. And it begs the question, why would the leadership of the military be trying to murder military personnel? Now, I know you're not saying it in exactly that way. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. That's my assessment. But it brings up the question of, you know, why isn't the leadership doing everything possible to protect the soldiers rather than subjecting them to these risks from a bioweapon?
Well, and I make this call in that episode 33, the first part of the bioweapon series, after I walk you through the documents and show you how it was developed in China. And now we've had more documents that have been re-released without redactions. And I talk about the redaction codes like Bravo 4, B4 redaction. And if that area was not redacted, it would inhibit the application of a state-of-the-art U.S. weapon system. And so now we've had those similar documents re-released through FOIA release. And it says what was previously blocked out, it now says it was developed in Shanghai, China. Now, a little bit about the military is, like, if I have a little jump drive, you know, those little USB drives, if I take that, it's made in China, if I go into a U.S. government system and I plug it in, I could potentially put a virus or some sort of spyware into the computer, so that's not allowed. Now, what they're coercing us to do and forcing us to do is have a bioweapon that was developed in part or totally by China injected into the service members. How much worse could that be than a little USB drive?
Well, it's exactly. It's far worse. And also, just for those watching here from the Pentagon and elsewhere, I speak Chinese because my wife is from Taiwan. Her family escaped communism. That's why we are so strongly anti-communism. Well, one of the reasons. But I'm very familiar with a speech by General Hao Tian, who called for biological weapons to be used. And that's a Chinese war general. In a speech around the year 2000, he called for mass genocide against the American people using biological weapons. So this is not a wild conspiracy theory. This is actually a war posture that is well known and publicly known among communist Chinese or PLA war generals. So I've heard elements of that speech, you know, myself, not understanding every word, but understanding enough to know that that's real. It's not just something that somebody told me. So bioweapons have always been part of the plan to take down America. So what you're saying, Sam, is 100% confirmed. I'm just helping to back up what you just said, but go ahead.
And so, you know, for giving out these exemptions that were allegedly against the Secretary of Defense guidance, which, as we all know, guidance is, hey, think about doing this, but you don't have to, as opposed to policy, which is law. I was suspended at Fort Huachuca on the 13th of September for going against this guidance. Well, the policy came out on the 14th of September, and the policy that was published was a reinstatement of what was already a law, and it was everything that I had followed. Everything I did was well within my right and my duty as a physician and a military physician to take care of the patient.
And yet, you have been targeted, you have been shut down, you're involved in legal action right now, aren't you? Or at least defending yourself against military action against you. What are the actions you're involved in?
So I have to be careful how I speak because I can't go on about lawsuits against the government, but I'm going to just kind of broach the subjects and not really talk about them too much. But that medical exemption that I was giving out after appropriate assessments and looking into charts and reviewing and speaking to patients, it blossomed into what is now an affidavit in the Robert V. Austin case, which is going to be heard, I think, on the 28th of November. I've also am a named plaintiff in Coker v. Austin. And in that declaration, I outline the shadow policy that's in place that destroys doctors like me that do the right thing. I've become a defense military epidemiologic database whistleblower, along with doctors and Colonel Teresa Long and retired Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with both of them.
I'm familiar with both of them, yes.
And
yes.
Very good.
Well, and as part of that blowing the whistle, I think it's important for our audience to know that the DOD data that has been shown by Attorney Thomas Renz and others shows that the DOD was very much aware of the incredible increased risk of harm from these so-called vaccine injections, which arguably aren't even really traditional vaccines. They're mRNA programmable, or let's say instructions for your body to synthesize proteins. So the DOD was aware of the harm. And when you blew the whistle, they tried to shut you down rather than saying, oh, wow, thank you for telling us. Let's protect the soldiers.
And you're right. I mean, they've done more than just shut me down. They've, you know, they suspended me. My Fort Huachuca suspension, actually, I was vindicated just recently on the 7th of October. It took over a year to get to this, to get my due process, where they said, yeah, you can have your clinical privileges back. But during that time frame, my last duty station, Fort Wainwright, Alaska, they said, you know, we think you're having a little problem with your charting here when you were here. And so they have suspended me. And they've, so on the 7th of October, just recently, I was vindicated. On the 14th of October, I entered, my lawyer entered a lawsuit, Sigloff v. Austin et al., you know, Secretary of the Army and the commanding general at my post. And then the next week, that next Friday on the 21st of October, all of a sudden Alaska says, hey, we've come to a decision. It's taken us this long, almost a year, to come to a decision, and we're going to recommend revocation of your privileges, which means my licensure in Texas will find out about that, and they will remove my license, so the ability to practice medicine.
Wow. And then what would the Army do with you at that point?
Well, they're going to try. They've already told me I'll be out in 100 days, which will put me out of the military by December timeframe. When my obligation is due in July of 23, so less than a year anyways, they won't let me finish that out. They haven't let me see a patient for over a year. And
is
in fact,
right?
they've actually walked me out of the clinic because they have fears that I might try and hurt someone, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, of course, that's absurd. And just to be clear, you were not in any way interfering with the medical choice of someone who wanted a vaccine, correct?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I was actually, my hospital commander accused me indirectly through someone else. You know, we're afraid that he could sabotage the vaccine drive that we're having. So let's keep Sigloff out of the loop. And this was before I was suspended. This is when I was the leader. And I'm finding out, like, why is my doc not over in the clinic like they're supposed to be? They didn't tell me because they thought I might sabotage, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That's absurd. And let me just say, again, these are my words, not yours, but I know Pentagon officials will be watching this. And let me just say something to you. When China attacks America, which is coming, it's the unvaccinated soldiers that will be remaining here to defend this nation. You better pray you have unvaccinated soldiers still around, because the vaccinated ones, many of them will be killed by this biological weapon. And I know this as a fact. I've established this through many other interviews. And Dr. Sam Sigloff here is saving lives, and those lives will one day be called upon to save America. So by interfering with Sam's efforts, you are in fact carrying out, in my opinion, acts of treason against these United States of America. That's my opinion. I know you don't use that word. I'm not saying you do, but that's my assessment. I mean, America should thank God for you, Sam, and what you're trying to do, because we've got to have soldiers who aren't killed by the bioweapon, obviously, or we don't have a nation. You want to comment on that, or you want to disagree with anything I've said? Or, I mean, it's an open floor. I won't criticize you.
Well, I want to say that it's not me. This is not of me. My strength through all this has come directly from God. My ability to have eyes that are open and a heart that's willing to see in this spiritual warfare, it's come straight from God. It is not of me, not of myself. And I want to make that very clear that I am an instrument that God is using to bring glory to his name.
Absolutely. Amen to that. And I feel I've been placed in the same role, or the same way, but I guess in a different role as a journalist and an interviewer. But let's get back to where this goes. It seems like there have been successful legal challenges to the Pentagon's vaccine mandates, and I haven't kept up with all of them, but I'm sure you have. Can you tell us where things stand right now with vaccine mandates across the different branches?
Well, let me back up just a little bit, because there's a couple things that, one thing you said earlier when you were talking about the mRNA, and this is most people seem to think that it means messenger RNA, and that's what that used to mean in the past. But if you look at the package inserts and you see where it says mRNA, and there's a little asterisk, and you look down at the bottom and it says modified ribonucleic acid. And Dr. Malone's mentioned this a few times. And what that means is they used a different nucleic acid than what is found in nature. Okay, well, what's the problem with that, Sigloff? Well, that means your body can't break it down. We lack the enzymes to break it down. We don't know how long it stays in your body. So that's a problem. So that's a lie. That's lie number one. Lie number two.
But we also know that through the biodistribution studies, we know that these mRNA particles circulate throughout the body, and they end up in the spleen, in the endocrine system, yes, and brain, lung tissue, and other tissues.
Yes. And in test tubes, within 6 hours of exposure, previously known cancer cell, like liver cancer cells, and this is in a test tube, it integrated in the DNA. So that's a huge problem. And that was something that I had warned about, that we don't know what would happen.
Right. And from other interviews I've done, I know that the Pentagon is going to be facing enormous costs associated with aggressive accelerated cancers among vaccinated troops. So this is going to require hundreds of billions of dollars in long-term payouts, which the Pentagon would not be able to use that money for weapon systems development contracts and paying off, a weapon system industry people as well. So they need to think about that too. This is going to cost them in their pocketbooks
significantly. And another big lie in here is when CDC first came out with the Pfizer Moderna on a little pamphlet they were handing out, or emailer, and they had the list of both ingredients, and something caught my eye. It's called DSPC and DSPE. And so I looked those up, and those are some of the lipid nanoparticles that have serious problems. But those were patented in 2017 to specifically take drugs to the brain through the blood-brain barrier. Now, the blood-brain barrier, you have a couple different barriers in your body, placenta barrier, retina barrier, and this is to keep your immune system away from those particular areas. The spaces between the cells that make up the vessels are very tight so that nothing can get through. Well, this DSPC and DSPE were specifically designed to get through that barrier. Well, the zeitgeist, or the gestalt of the time, was that it goes in your arm and it stays in your arm. But why would they put a medication or a compound
right,
in there
we
to take
told.
It to the brain? They lied. That's why.
Well, absolutely they lied. And in addition, they basically breached the castle walls of your body with this system. I mean, this is like, detonating what were they called? The people who tunnel under the castle walls. Forgot what they're called in, ancient wars in Europe and so on. But they detonate, they blow apart the wall, and then the bad guys can come on in. So that's what these nanoparticle caps, in essence, are designed to do, these nanolipids. It's an attack, an invasion of your cellular system. It bypasses the defenses that your body normally uses to maintain states of health. It's incredible.
And I want to also make it clear that, because I've talked to a lot of people and they said, oh, well, I got the Johnson & Johnson because at least it's not mRNA. And to tell you the truth, DNA scares me more because there's no intermediate thing that needs to do. A good example of a DNA virus is chickenpox. If, let's just go on the assumption that viruses are a thing and viruses, the way you're taught in school and all that. But if a DNA virus gets in you, like chickenpox, it goes into a certain area, a certain part of your cells called the dorsal root ganglion that's in your back, and they integrate into your DNA and they stay in your DNA forever. They don't have to reverse transcribe. They don't have to do it. They just go in there and they just plug themselves in and that's it. That's why DNA vaccines scare me even more, because they don't have to do anything. They just go in because they're supposed to be there and they're supposed to be in the nucleus. So your cell will grab it, bring it in and go, here, stick yourself in here.
Well, exactly. And I want to mention too, folks, if you want to help support Sam Sigloff here, he has endured tremendous costs associated with simply defending himself against this onslaught of what I would characterize as medical tyranny. He has a donation page set up at givesendgo.com. And we'll put the URL on screen for you, but it's givesendgo.com. And you can just search there for Sigaloff, S-I-G-O-L-O-F-F, and you'll be able to find his campaign there. Again, substantial legal costs. I don't know if you want to talk about funds publicly. I haven't asked you that off camera or anything, but do you want to share what kind of costs you're enduring and just, you know, having to have attorneys to defend your rights as a physician to help defend other soldiers, by the way? Is that something you want to talk about?
My wife has set up this Give, Send, Go because we have spent over $60,000 so far on legal fees, right? I've had a 15-6 commander's investigation because I was talking to a soldier once and said, hey, this is an illegal order, and they wanted to find out, did he breach something? Yeah, I got a general memorandum of reprimand for telling a company commander that this is an unlawful order, and we can talk about it more later. And saying that in front of troops is wrong. They would love to have had a guy like me talk like this at Melee to stop that massacre as I was sitting there watching soldiers get damaged and destroyed. I've had clinical investigation in Arizona, which has cost quite a bit of money. I've had, I'm under investigation through the Texas medical licensure, and they had an opportunity to close it. They received all the documents in time, and they decided, no, we're going to keep investigating. And now Alaska, my last duty station, they have opened an investigation, and they're claiming that I'm incompetent. And there's clear lies. I mean, just making things up. Like, it's insane. They didn't talk to people I worked with every day for 2 years, or a doctor I knew for 3 years, or a doctor I knew for 8 years. They talked to people that already had problems with me.
No, we know how that works. I mean, all of us in this industry, we are routinely lied about, false accusations, you know, fake hit piece articles, all of it. It's happened to Peter McCullough. You know, they're trying to take the medical license away from Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, who is another treasure for America, a great American hero. I mean, one of the most published, academic physicians in America, one of the most brilliant people. I mean, again, a national treasure. I mean, that guy should get like a congressional award or a medal or something, and then they're trying to take away his license. So imagine what they're going to do to people like you and I and others who try to speak out. Of course, they're going to rake you over the coals. But givesendgo.com, folks, is where you can help donate to Sam Sigaloff and his efforts to really to protect not just his own rights, but to protect America as well. Sam, did you ever think that when you were going through medical school, did you ever imagine that this would be happening? Because, you know, most doctors that I know, they entered this field because they wanted to help people. What's been your experience in that context?
Well, it's amazing. When you're actually trying to help people, this is what happens. Because shortly before all this COVID stuff, I learned about some dietary modifications that, like, I've had a patient cure their diet. Well, I can't say cure, but basically completely resolve their diabetes. They were taking 80 units of insulin in the first week due to dietary changes. Went down to 10 units within 2 months off every pill. I've had two patients with rheumatoid arthritis. All their symptoms went away, stopped their hydroxychloroquine, and were able to not take any medications and have no symptoms just by some dietary guidelines changes. Basically, yes. Quit eating plants, eat animals, and eat high fat. And I hit resistance for that.
That's interesting. Because the conventional narrative today is exactly the opposite. Like, stop eating all meat and eat nothing but plants, which has, you know, major dietary problems, by the way. And I'm a nutritionist. You know, I'm a published food scientist, so I know this area very well. And I have seen many, many people overcome type 2 diabetes. I mean, and I will use the word cure. They have cured type 2 diabetes where they no longer need insulin whatsoever simply by changing their food intake. That's it. But if you looked at what they were eating before, it's kind of understandable. It was high fructose corn syrup sodas, a lot of partially hydrogenated soybean oil, a bunch of garbage that was just attacking their system from within, including pancreatic dysfunction. So, hey, if you stop poisoning yourself, your body heals. It wants to heal. So what you're saying makes sense to me.
And that's the philosophy of an osteopathic physician, is to find health, don't just treat disease. And that's, you know, I'm an osteopath. It's right. A slightly different philosophy than an allopathic doctor or an MD.
Yes, yes, exactly. An osteopath like Dr. Joseph McCullough, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Same approach. So it's incredible to me that you're facing this. Were you at any point warned by other physicians in the military to say, hey, Sam, just shut up. Just stop talking about this. You're going to ruin your career. They're going to do this to you. I mean, was that kind of pressure exerted on you, if you can talk about that?
Sure. So I used to be in this closed army only physician Facebook group, and I had been belittled and berated and just it was pretty awful. And when I started reporting people, guess who got silenced for a week? This guy, not the people mocking me and making fun of me. And back when I first got suspended, I was able to get onto Stu Peters within six, which I'm surprised, within 6 hours of being on the Stu Peters show, I was thrown out of that Facebook group of only Army doctors. I'm surprised that anybody in there watched Stu Peters, but yeah, they threw me out.
Well, and I wonder how many of those doctors are dead already because of the vaccine that they took. I mean, seriously. Because, you know, Stu Peters is working on a new documentary called Died Suddenly. You've probably seen the trailer. And that's using Richard Hirschman, the embalmer, with all of the, what we'll call the, I don't know, the biostructures, whatever they are, aggregated protein structures that are clogging people's arteries and people are dying. And you know, I have a bunch of those in a vial in my lab, and I've done the microscopy on those as well. We've done heavy metals analysis. Using mass spectrometry. So it's a small world, but that's real. So you know what, Sam? Feel good about the fact that you are here still talking, still breathing, still healthy, and the tide is turning on all of this. You're gonna come out of this fully vindicated, I believe.
Well, and I recently saw a thing, I think it was Terminal CWO put it up. If you don't know who he is, check him out. He's on Instagram. He's all sorts of places. But there was an article recently in some magazine or somewhere that they want to have amnesty against all this COVID stuff. Like, let's just blanket forgive everybody, which, right, I have no problem with the neighbor next to me and the guy next. But people that made policy that should have known, as educated physicians and lawyers who should have known, we should forgive them, and I do forgive them, but there needs to be legal accountability. And I want to make it very clear, this, I am not advocating for any vigilante type justice. We need to follow the legal system just as they did at, let's say, Nuremberg, for medical experimentation on human society.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. I think our audience would as well. That article was in The Atlantic, and it set off a firestorm because, yes, they're demanding amnesty for everybody who pushed these lies and destroyed the lives of children and destroyed the small businesses with the lockdowns that were unnecessary and the masking and the mandates and all of it, and building the quarantine camps in states like Washington, by the way. Now they want amnesty. You know why? Because they know the evidence has come out. It's irrefutable. They are in the cover-up phase of this massive crime against humanity. And like you, yeah, I'm willing to forgive after they publicly apologize. They make restitution. Every person who was fired for not being vaccinated should be reinstated with back pay, plus some kind of penalty should be paid by the employers, including the military. And in addition, there should be a new, some kind of super constitutional ratified agreement that's pro-human rights, pro-health freedom, that we shall never endure this kind of thing again. We shall never be forced to take a needle, to wear a mask, to lock our children down. We shall never endure this again. Until we do that, no, sorry, no forgiveness for you. In fact, I'm going to call for indictments, criminal indictments, prosecutions, and investigations of every person who carried this out. But like you, Sam, no vigilante justice. We don't do that. We're not into that. We're talking through the legal system, through due process, and they get the right to self-defense. But indict them, prosecute them, and let the courts decide the punishment that is that fits their crime, because these are crimes that they carried out.
They are. And they've hurt my friends. Like, people I know, like people you know, like Dr. Pete Chambers, he's talked about this many times. He's been injured by this.
Yes.
And he's not as badly injured as some people are, but they've hurt my friends. They've hurt my friends' children. They've hurt children. And how many people have committed suicide during this or died mysteriously? How many lives would there be today if there was no coercion for people to take this? Like, oh, lose your job, or, you know, not feed your family, or get this shot. Okay, well, I guess I'll just... I don't know if you remember, a while back, there was a soldier who had a sign that said, "I'm taking this under duress," as they stick the needle in his arm. He was floating around.
Yeah,
that happened here at Fort Huachuca.
Okay. Well, and those soldiers are to be commended, in my opinion. You know, it's just incredible that here we are in a global conflict with Russia right now. And all the talk is, oh, you know, Putin's the evil person. Putin might nuke us. Well, guess what? Our troops have already been nuked by the bioweapons industry And that nuke was launched by, well, Austin and others. That's why the lawsuit's name Austin. Darth Vader himself, he nuked the American troops. And if he is not held accountable, then we have no accountability. I mean, we will have no effective military remaining if these lunatics don't stop their attacks on our troops and our nation. I mean, right, recruitment is down, what, 25% because of all the wokeism. Because a lot of young men, they don't want to be part of this woke culture nonsense and all the transgenderism that's being pushed. I know that's not your focus, Sam, but it's one of the factors. I mean, the 101st Airborne is down to 60% effectiveness right now, and they're being deployed, part of them, in Romania, I believe. You know, how are we supposed to defend our nation if our troops can't function? It's just insane.
For all the young people out there that have this overwhelming desire to serve their country, I understand that because I'm in the Army, right? I've been in for like 10 years. I understand that. Soon you will be called, and I don't exactly know what this means, but soon you will be called to serve your country in a different way, more like the settlers in the 1800s. And again, don't ask me exactly what that means because I don't know exactly what that means. But there will be a time to serve your country, and it will be different than how my generation served the country. And so don't lock yourself into a position where you have no options because you have this overwhelming desire to serve your country. Because I'm telling you, the time will come when you will be able to serve this country, and it will be more like the 1800s, where you're exploring, you're settling, you're helping build back. And not build back better.
Yeah, not build back better, no. Maybe but I would say the relaunching of America, the re-engagement of the American spirit, right? Something along those lines. But what you're implying there, Sam, is that there will be mass destruction, something from which we must build back, the refounding of America. What? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I pray I'm wrong.
Well, I pray you're wrong as well, but I think you're correct. We see everything being set into motion, and it's not just America. And Western Europe is falling right now. I mean, they have no energy, no food. The deindustrialization of Western Europe is nearly complete. Do you realize, and again, especially for those of you watching from the Pentagon, do you realize that Western Europe, they've already shut down their steel plants in Germany. Aluminum production is down 70 to 80%. There's almost nothing taking place in terms of nickel, manganese, copper smelting and production, which means that Western Europe cannot manufacture munitions or weapons of war to defend its own continent or its own nations. And at the same time that the United States is sending the vast majority of our munitions supplies to Europe, many of which are being interdicted and destroyed by Russia, and that the United States does not have the labor pool nor the infrastructure to remanufacture what we need to resupply our own troops here domestically, you realize that? You realize you put America in a position of incredible vulnerability while you poison the troops, while China is about ready to attack us? My God. I mean, I can't, there's no better definition of treason and traitors than what our own, quote, leaders have done to us at this point. We are on the path to annihilation if we don't turn this thing around. That's my opinion. Again, not yours, Sam. That's mine. But it, you know, it follows from what you were just saying. But I'll turn it back to you.
And what's interesting is I've shared my bioweapon part one series where I explain how it's a bioweapon. And I shared that whole idea in the video with we'll call him just a soldier. He's got some leadership position and he can make some changes. And he later came back to me and said, Sigloff, you know, you're probably right, but you need to keep that fight going, but on the outside. And it's like, please, please help, because this needs to be stopped immediately. All soldiers need to be barred from taking this, let alone be coerced to get it. Because it's kind of like the neutron bomb idea.
Well, is it, what do you want the Pentagon to do if you could wave a magic wand and they followed your demands, let's say, or suggestions, maybe it's a softer term, what would you suggest that they do immediately?
Instantly stop any mandate for any service member, whether it be Coast Guard, Army, because they're the only two that do not have a injunction at this point. And part of the demands or requests that we put into some documents that my lawyer submitted were to immediately stop all mandates for the Army. And unfortunately, I didn't know about the Coast Guard at the time, but they're into the same thing. Like, every doctor knew they would be crushed and destroyed if they gave a medical exemption. And I'm hoping there was another doctor that came up with a medical exemption to give to people, to give to soldiers and service members, but I don't know them. And I know quite a few physicians on this side of the argument.
So you're going to be out of the Army within 100 days, you said? Is that right?
That's what they say. I think it's a threat. I don't think it's going to happen. We'll see.
Oh, okay. But the term of your service is coming up, what, next year?
June of 23 is when my obligation is completed.
Okay. I assume that if you make it to that date, you will leave the Army at that point and no longer be in the Army, correct?
Correct, right. With no retirement because I'm not staying in that long. It's only 11 years.
Okay, all right. Are you at a point where you can talk about what you plan to do after the Army?
That's still in the air. I mean, I want to see patients. That's what I love. That's why I spent a majority of my life going to school to see patients. I mean, this whole podcast thing, it started into last December because I can't be quiet. I have this burden that I must speak the truth. And this is the best way that I can get the truth out. And, you know, this might not.
I can immediately see, there is rising up right now a parallel medical system in America that's based on telemedicine, where physicians like you are meeting with patients, you know, through Zoom, for example. And in fact, I think Dr. McCullough is part of one organization that's doing that, but I've heard of several others. In fact, I've been approached by a couple to potentially look at what they're doing and potentially help publicize what they're doing or even promote them. You would have, I think, an immediate role. I mean, as a family physician, like a GP role to help lots of people in lots of different ways. You have a very bright future in the parallel medical system, which I think is a system that's going to keep people alive, by the way. So, Sam, you have a bright future. Just hang in there.
Now, I'm certain I do have a bright future. I think one of the challenges is that the military could take away my medical license through this process. And that's what they're actually trying to do. They're trying to not just get me out of the military. They're trying to destroy my good name. And, I mean, it's not good to destroy a doctor's good name because they know people and they can make contacts and they can, you know, make legal arguments. And I mean that in a legal argument manner. Please don't misinterpret that because I know there are CIA agents watching. I have been personally emailed and told that I am part of a threat working group.
And that was a threat working group.
Yes, sir. They accidentally put me on the CC line of an email saying that, hey, tomorrow we're having a threat working group. Oh.
Oh, they accidentally CC'd you on the email. Okay.
And so I called them the next day and said, hey, so where's this threat working group? And they said, who is this? Who? Click. Hung up.
I see. Wow. Well, that's interesting. So somehow your email address is floating around in their clipboard and they pasted it into an email.
I imagine because when it said the subject, it said Major Sam Sigloff. It had my DOD. It had my date of birth. I was the subject. I was the only person who was the subject of that meeting the next day. And I think they...
I see.
Put me in the CC line to probably spell my name, and they forgot to take it out. So who's the real insider?
Okay,
threat?
That, yeah,
the guy speaking the truth.
Right. So you are considered the threat, and I guess you're a whole group too by yourself. That's amazing. That's giving you a lot of credit, by the way. So you have to fight that in order to maintain your license as you exit the military, and that's why you have all these legal fees. Well, one of the reasons, and I wish you the best in this. Obviously, we're going to help publicize your Give, Send, Go address. I'll ask my writers to do a story about this interview as well. I'll ask our listeners to help support you if they feel so moved to do that. And I think America needs you. Maybe you don't have a place in the traditional, failing, broken down medical system, which is basically a suicide cult at this point. But you have a great place in a real medical system that cares about the health of the American people. So I just pray for you and wish you the best in defending your medical license because America needs people like you.
Thank you. And the biggest thing I want to get out is it's this fight that I'm fighting is not just about me. It's about the private who doesn't know that he doesn't have to take this. It's about the lieutenant who has a full career ahead of him and doesn't want to destroy his life and not provide for his family. That's right. Why I'm making this stand. I mean,
that's a really good point. Yeah. And man, there's so many areas where we could explore this. You know, I mean, for example, you know that the presence of the spike protein, which is the antigen target of the mRNA so-called vaccines, so the spike protein is being generated in the bodies of people who are injected. Well, that suspends the chromosomal repair mechanism, or at least it suppresses it by about 90%. So if our soldiers are ever subjected to low-level radiation events, for example, in Ukraine in the near future or in Europe, and they suffer double-strand breaks in their chromosomal integrity, the normal body repair mechanism that repairs that, which is called NHEJ, that mechanism is suppressed by the presence of the spike protein, which means that soldiers who are vaccinated will not be able to repair their bodies from the ionizing radiation from low-level radiation fallout. So what do you think that's going to do to the military? I mean, there are so many things like this that are critical to understand, but even the typical military commander or leader is clueless about this. They don't know what they've done already. Some of them don't.
I was at some general, I won't give any more because you can figure it out pretty easy, but there was a general that came and talked to us at one point, and he was saying that, you know, we've got, you know, old technology of guns and tanks, and it's all just gunpowder and can. It's all the same technology. The new technology is going to be lasers. And after it was over, I said, sir, the fifth generation warfare is not going to be lasers. Lasers are old technology as well. It will be nanoparticles. It will be nanobots. It will be xenobots because they already exist.
The fifth generation warfare has already been committed against us. It's already done.
It was declared on March 27, 2020, when the FDA said that there is an emergency, because for them to declare an emergency, there must be a CBRNE or chemical, biologic, radiologic danger to the soldiers or the military or citizens on U.S. soil or citizens on foreign soil. So for the very ability to declare an emergency, there must be some sort of biowarfare agent being used.
And you know what's also extraordinary in all of this? The Pentagon could have just said, by listening to, for example, Peter McCullough, they could have said from day one, guess what? We're just going to make sure our soldiers have vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, and then in emergencies, maybe ivermectin. That would have handled more than 99% of any issues of infections or transmission or anything. I mean, if you just hand out vitamin D and of course, check levels, make sure everything's in balance, I mean, you have a captive audience in the military. You can tell them, take vitamin D. You're going to take, you know, 2,000 IUs a day or whatever is the decided upon amount. That right there is going to solve most of these issues. But they couldn't do that, could they? They wanted to inject them with experimental biological weapons. Just unbelievable.
Well, and what's interesting is I found this application for a patent. It was December of 2020. And it was right around the time the president of the United States at the time was getting significant blowback from talking about hydroxychloroquine. And this particular application for a patent was funded by DARPA. And what DARPA does is they make things that don't exist and they make biologic antidotes and things like that. And this application for a patent was a new way to make hydroxychloroquine in a high yield fashion, to make lots of it quickly. And that was December of 2020, right around the same time that the president was talking about how great it is. And I kid you not, a month later, I had a pharmacist slam the phone down on me because I prescribed hydroxychloroquine for a patient.
A lot of this reminds me of Russian defector Yuri Bezmianov, who warned us back, I think in the late 1980s, that communism was going to infiltrate our country and turn us against us, right? It'll turn the people against themselves. And the infiltration was going to be cultural. The infiltration would take place in government, including the military, which has happened. The infiltration would also include institutions such as law and medicine and science and technology, of course. But here we are. The medical system has been weaponized against us. The military has been, in my opinion, infiltrated and taken over by anti-American communists and traitors. The biological weapons of the communist nation enemy have been injected into, I don't know how many, over 1 million troops, I don't know the exact number. And here we are facing World War III with Russia, with the risk that our military will not be able to function, and with military leadership that's already turned against us. I mean, the coup has already taken place. America has been conquered by communism at this point. How do we come back from this?
It's interesting because I've heard him talk and I've heard talks about him. And one thing that he said that they first must do is destroy religion, like the actual people who actually have faith. And the reason is, you know, you can come after my license and, you know, I'm not going to like it. You can come after this. You can do this. But when you start coming after my kids or you come after things that are of religious importance, that's when you get someone who stands in front of a tank in China. That's when you get people who won't back down. And so what we need is a revival. We need people to, whatever God it is, right? I'm Christian. I think Christianity is a good way. But if you're not Christian, that's fine. Whatever it is, we need a revival so that people can have that. They know who they are. They know where we started from, because all of our founding documents are based on Judeo-Christian privileges or principles, sorry, where man and woman stand naked before God. They're both the same before the law. And that's what that means. That's why Adam and Eve were naked in the garden, because they're the same. They're bare before the law. And that's how we need to be. We need to get back to that, where there is no difference. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter if you're man or woman. And those are pretty much the only two options, because that's all we can find in nature, is those two options. And to do otherwise would deny nature's God.
Yes. Which brings in the rise of Satanism through all these institutions, the satanic agenda that has also infiltrated certain elements of the higher levels of the military. Not the frontline men and women in uniform who still love America, who are courageous, who want to do their duty. I'm talking about the leadership that is destroying this nation. Well, Sam, we've gone on here for quite some time. We've covered a lot of issues. I want to give out your Give, Send, Go URL one more time for people. We'll put it on screen, givesendgo.com. Check the URL on screen if you want to help financially support Sam Sigaloff in his efforts here to try to help save America. My goodness, to help save humanity. Is there anything else you'd like to add here as we wrap this up, Sam?
The duty uniform of the day is the full armor of God. And together we can all make courage more contagious than fear.
Well said. Well, we pray for you and we wish you the best outcome. And we are very honored that you would spend this time with us and to really put your neck on the line here to tell the truth on behalf of not just yourself, but the other men and women in uniform and also the American Constitutional Republic that we must protect at all costs. So thank you, Sam, for joining me today. It's been a real honor to be able to speak with you about all of this.
Thank you. It's been an honor as well. I appreciate it.
And for those of you watching, you do have permission to repost this interview on other channels and other platforms. I'm Mike Adams, the founder and creator of Brighteon.com, which is the free speech video platform. Feel free to use that platform, create your own account there as well. I built it because I was banned everywhere else. So I built it so we can have conversations just like this. And of course, sharing the URLs of this interview is also banned on most platforms. So you might have to post this on Rumble and then share the Rumble address or something like that to get this out on Facebook or Twitter. But thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com. And we've been speaking with Dr. Sam Sigaloff. God bless America. Take care. The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.